So we're going to discuss sukkahs tonight. We're going to understand how sukkahs is the culmination of the track of the Yom Nirayim. It's also the culmination of the Shal Shagarim. So if you think about it, there's really two tracks of the Mu'adim. There's the Shal Shagarim, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkahs, and then there's the second track of the Yom Nirayim, which also culminates in sukkahs. You got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then sukkahs. And sukkahs is, in one sense, part of the Yom Nirayim, but it's also part of the Gimel Garim. So let's try to understand the role of sukkahs in both of these tracks and how the two tracks parallel one another. So first of all, when the track starts. So when does the Shal Shagarim track start? It starts in Chodesh Nisan versus the Yom Nirayim, which are all in Chodesh Tishrei. What's the difference between Chodesh Nisan and Chodesh Tishrei? So Chodesh Nisan, the Netziv explains, Chodesh Nisan is L'mal Min HaTeva. Chodesh Tishrei is Teva. When it comes to Klal Yisrael, we're L'mal Min HaTeva. So we start our Yom Tovim from Pesach because we're in Metzias, that's L'mal Min HaTeva. When it comes to the Yom Tovim of Tishrei, Tishrei is about Teva. So Yom Tovim and Tishrei are all focused around Teva, whereas it's not necessarily so unique to Klal Yisrael. We'll explain this in a bit. Whereas the Gimel Regalim are all about Klal Yisrael, so therefore it starts in the month, which is L'mal Min HaTeva. Now, if we think about it, though, when it comes to sukkahs, there's two mitzvos on sukkahs. We're going to develop this idea that on sukkahs, there's, unlike all the other Yom Tovim, there's two mitzvos. There's the mitzvah of the sukkah, and then there's also the mitzvah of the Dalet Minim. So why is it that when it comes to sukkahs, we need two mitzvos, whereas when it comes to Pesach, we only have one mitzvah of matzah and everything accompanies that Leil Seder? When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, there's only mitzvah of shofar. Why is it that sukkahs is unique as two mitzvahs that seemingly have nothing to do with one another? So we're going to have to understand this point. But before we get there, let's just try to show parallels between the two tracks of both the Yom Nirayim and parallels between the Shal Shagarim. So as we said, Pesach corresponds to Rosh Hashanah. Both Pesach and Rosh Hashanah are the first of the Yom Tovim in their respective tracks. So let's just highlight a lot of comparisons that exist between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach. So, for starters, today we said Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. What is Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros all about? So Yosef Albo explains that Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros are three Ikari Muna. We said this many times, that Malchios corresponds to belief in God, Zichronos corresponds to our belief in that God is intervening in the world in Hashkacha, and Shofros is about our belief in Torah. Now what's Pesach all about? Anyone? What? Yeah, it's about Emunah, right? Pesach is all about our belief in Emunah. So, yeah, exactly. Korban Pesach is a korban of Amunah. So the same way that Rosh Hashanah is a day that we reinforce our Amunah, so too Pesach is a day, Pesach is a night where we start out the birth of our nation all about Amunah. That's comparison number one between the Yom Tovim. Now, Chazal teach that when did the Avdus of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim stop? What day? It stopped in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is about potential for Ruchnis. Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar. What's the shofar all about? It's reawakening a person in order for them to achieve their potential. And the same thing is true when it came to Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. What's Pesach all about? Klal Yisrael was, when did we become a nation? At Pesach. And Pesach, we're all about potential. Rosh Hashanah is the first day of the year. It's all about potential. Pesach is also, it's all about potential. It's all about the potential of Klal Yisrael. And another parallel between the two Yom Tovim. We blow shofar. Maharshal explains that shofar is a symbolism of cheiros, right? We blow shofar when we free avadim during the Yovel year. And a lot of the Sfarim explain that we blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, it's cheiros in the sense of a person supposed to free themselves from their passions, from the Yetzihara. What's Pesach all about? Pesach is all about cheiros. It's a chag of cheiros. So Rosh Hashanah and Pesach are both Yom Tovim about cheiros. They're both about freedom. And another comparison between both of the Yom Tovim, the Sfarim like to point out that today, we accepted Hashem's Malchus. Now, as part of accepting Hashem's Malchus means that we're His Avadim. It's a Kabbalah Samach Hashem. We're also accepted to be Hashem's Avadim. So coupled with that, to be His Avadim, that's exactly what we're doing in Pesach. A lot of this farm explained that the Ikar Avodah of Pesach is not the fact that we were free. Like, we got free for what? We were free to become Hashem's Avadim. So the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah and the Avodah of Pesach are identical. Both the Avodah of Rosh Hashanah and the Avodah of Pesach are all about accepting to become Hashem's Avadim. Okay. Now, what happens right after Pesach? What's the time period we have right after Pesach? Seir Samer. Good. Now, what's the time period we have right after Rosh Hashanah? Seir Samer Tshuva. Now, why is it that we need these two time periods right after Pesach and Rosh Hashanah with Seiras Yemei Teshuva and Seiras Omer? So what's this all about? So Gedalia Shor explains that the significance of Seiras Omer is that when it comes to Leil Seder, a person is supposed to get so inspired, but a person needs to concretize that inspiration. So how do we concretize the inspiration? We have 49 days of just doing the same thing. So the Yisod, Seiras Omer, is a way that we concretize everything that we gain on Pesach. So the same thing is true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. What happens in Rosh Hashanah? A person is supposed to be reawakened, inspired from the shofar. We need to counter that, and the way we do that, to translate that inspiration and to make it concrete, we have Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we have 10 days. But furthermore, when it comes to, what's the Yontif that comes right after Pesach? What's Pesach leading up to? Shavuos. Now, what's Rosh Hashanah leading up to? Yom Kippur, right? So what's the common denominator between Yom Kippur and Shavuos? So first of all, are there any mitzvos, specific mitzvos that are unique to Shavuos? So there's no mitzvos. And we don't find any, really, Yom Kippur is about tshuva, but really tshuva is a year-round mitzvah. It's not a specific mitzvah to Yom Kippur. When it comes to both Yom Kippur and it comes to Shavuos, there's no specific mitzvos, because the avoda, what? Yeah, the fasting. You don't need hachana for the fasting. When it comes to both Yom Kippur and Shavuos, the avoda of the day, we need a preparation for that. In order for a person to accept Torah on Shavuos, you can't just do that without any preparation. Same thing when it comes to tshuva and Yom Kippur. You can't just go into Yom Kippur without any preparation. So we specifically go from Rosh Hashanah. We have a Aseres Yemei Teshuva to prepare us for the avoda of Yom Kippur, which is an avoda of tshuva. And the same thing is true of Shavuos. We have Seiras Omer in order to prepare us for the avoda of accepting the Torah on Shavuos. Now, when did we receive the first Luchos? Shavuos. Now, when did we receive the second Luchos? Yom Kippur. And Chazal referred to Yom Kippur as the day of Matan Torah. Shavuos and Yom Kippur are linked in the sense that they're both days of Kabbalah Satorah. So, as we said earlier, right, there's two tracks. You got the Shalosh Regalim track, which is Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. And then you have the second track of the Yom Ha'arayim. You got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. So, Yom Kippur is very much parallel to Shavuos. Shavuos is all about us receiving the Torah. Yom Kippur was our makeup from the Chet Ha'ego and received the Torah anew. So Shavuos and Yom Kippur are connected in that sense, and also connected in a more deeper sense in that both of them are days of preparation for everything else to come, meaning that on Shavuos we received the Torah is supposed to prepare us for everything to come for the rest of the year. Same thing when it comes to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a day of preparation that person does tshuva on Yom Kippur in order to take that with him for the rest of the year. So essentially, right, there's really three stages in Chassidus, in Chabad Chassidus, Chochma Bin Vadas, right, there's always three stages. There's like the initial spark, then there's the plan, then the execution of the plan. That's Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos. I'll explain. Right, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? Person's supposed to be inspired. It's the initial spark. Yom Kippur, that's when a person does tshuva for the specific details and comes up with a plan. And then Sukkos and the rest of the year is the person's executing that plan. And same thing is true when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. What's Pesach all about? A person's supposed to be inspired by El Seder. Shavuos received the Torah, received the plan for how a Jew is supposed to live. And then Sukkos and the rest of the year, a person's supposed to execute that plan when it comes. Or a person's supposed to execute the plan of Shavuos. Okay, so far, guys, so good? Everyone understand the connection? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. There's many. Rosh Hashanah, all the Yom Tov are interconnected, yeah. I'm not saying that, yeah, Yom Kippur is connected to Shavuos and Rosh Hashanah is not. Rosh Hashanah is also connected to Shavuos.
To develop the tracks, though, how do you know which elements are related to the tracks and which ones are just incidental for other reasons?
Look, all the Yom Tov are interconnected. I'm just pointing out broad themes between Rosh Hashanah and Pesach, broader themes between Shavuos and Yom Kippur. True, there's many themes that overlap in both of the Yom Tovim. It's not a steer per se. I'm just making certain points about
it. No, it's like when you have a lot of evidence, though, like you have to figure out. It makes it hard to see the patterns.
Correct. Okay, yeah, it's a longer share. It's a good point, though. Okay, good. Okay, so but let's come back to Sukkos now. How many mitzvahs do we have on Sukkos? We have two mitzvahs. We have mitzvah of Sukkah and we have the mitzvah of Lulav. So if you think about it, though, these two mitzvahs seem to line up within these two different tracks. Because what's the Sukkah all about? We're going to develop this idea. What's the Sukkah all about? It's about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's that? That's what the Gimel Gam is all about. What's the Lulav all about? What's the Dalminim all about? Dalminim is all about Teva. It's all about nature. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos in that perspective, it's all about the world as a whole. So unlike all the other Yom Tovim, on Sukkot we have two mitzvahs, because the two mitzvahs reflect the two tracks. It reflects the Yom Ragaim track, and it also reflects the Yom Noraim track. And I'm going to bring some evidence for this. So where does the mitzvah of Lulav appear in the Torah? Parashat Zemar. Good. Now, what comes first? Which mitzvah comes first? The mitzvah of Lulav or mitzvah of Sukkah?
Lulav.
Mitzvah of Lulav. Right, first the Torah, it goes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Lulav, and then Sukkah. Now, where does the mitzvah of Sukkah appear in the Torah? And? In Re. Good. What? Yeah, good. Okay. Sukkah always appears in conjunction with the Gimel Ragaim. When it comes to Lulav, if you look in the Torah, it goes Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, then the mitzvah of Lulav. Right, my friend Eli Hyman made this point. First, Lulav is grouped with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Sukkah comes after. And when the Torah in Parshas Re'eh doesn't mention Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it doesn't mention the Lulav. The Torah only mentions the Sukkah. Because the Sukkah is very much associated with the Gimel Ragaim. It's associated with the Gimel Ragaim track, is the Gimel Ragaim about our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Whereas the Lulav is more associated, we'll develop with this idea that Lulav is more associated with the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur themes. So let's explain this idea. We'll start with explaining Bezos Hashem Mitzvah Shas. We'll discuss the Dalad Minim a little bit more, so we'll just briefly mention the connections between Dalad Minim and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So let's get started. So today is davening. What did we say? V'yadaku fu'ul ki atafi alto v'yavim ku yatsur ki atay yatsarto. So the Arizal said, we'll explain what this part of tefillah means. The Arizal said that when we take the Dalad Minim and we do the Nanuim, we shake the Lulav, so we take the Dalad Minim, which is Samech, something living, we turn it into a Chaya, we turn it into an animal. When we do the Kiskusim, when we make the Lulav rattle, we take the Lulav and make it a Medaber, we make the Lulav speak. Now, in the Rosh Hashanah davening, so how are we supposed to understand this Arizal, that we take the Lulav, we're turning the Lulav into Medaber by shaking the Lulav? Let's try to understand this Arizal. So today's davening, we said, V'yadaku fu'ul ki atah fi'oto, v'yavin ki yatsir ki atah yatsato. A lot of the Mefarshim explain, what's that referring to? V'yadaku fu'ul ki atah fi'oto, that the plants are going to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When are we mekayim that tefillah? When's the key of the fact that even the plants are going to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's Lulav, right? That's the Lulav, because what do we do with the Lulav? We take the Lulav, we have the Lulav say hallow. So, Rosh Hashanah, we daven that there's going to be a day that the entire world, the entire nature, is going to recognize Hashem. When that's pshat in Arizal, that we take the Lulav and we turn it into Medaber. We have the Lulav praising Hashem, because that's the key, that's what we're davening for in Rosh Hashanah. So, Rosh Hashanah is the day that we're setting ourselves up for Sukkot, that the Teva, that nature itself, is going to recognize Hashem. And furthermore, the Baal Yatosos, the Nasikain, point out, where we said today in davening, V'yaseh chulam aguda achas. What's aguda achas? One bundle. What's that? Dal minim. That the Baal Yatosos explained, that the Rosh Hashanah Tefillah, it's hinting to the Dal minim, because Rosh Hashanah Tefillah, we're talking about a time when the entire world as a whole is going to recognize Hashem. That's what the Dal minim are about. Dal minim is about all of nature recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And also, the lulav, there's a lot of connections between lulav and tefillah. When we take lulav, what do we do? We do it in context of davening. What do we do with the lulav right after hallel? I mean, different shows are different minhagim, but we do the hoshanas. So what's hoshanas all about? It's tefillah. Right? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's all about tefillah. The lulav is very much associated with tefillah because it's in the context of the Yom Nerayim. It's the mitzvah which is in the context of the Yom Nerayim, which is all about tefillah. So Bezos Hashem and Motzei Shas will be married much more about the connection between the Lulav and the significance of it. I just want to sort of show some evidence that Lulav is very much linked up with the Yom Narayim. Now let's explain now the other mitzvah. How is Sukkah very much associated with Klal Yisrael, and it's part of the Shalosh Ragaim track? So let's understand this. So the Sfarim, they like to explain, the Gra explains that the Sukkah is commemorating the Anane Akavod returning to Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan. And our Sukkah is supposed to be a miniature Mishkan, quote-unquote. That at the Chida Ego, Klal Yisrael sinned and the Shekhinah left. At Yom Kippur, we received the Luchos. Hashem's Shekhinah did not return until Sukkot. And we build Sukkahs and Sukkot in order to commemorate Hashem's Shekhinah returning to the Mishkan. And according to the Vilna Gaon, the Sukkah is like the Mishkan. So let's understand the significance of the Mishkan, first of all, as opposed to the Mikdash, right? Why is the Sukkah more like a Mishkan as opposed to the Mikdash? So, in today's davening, what do we say when it comes to the base of Mikdash? Base of Mikdash is for everyone. When it comes to the Mishkan, it's just for us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not a place that all the nations are supposed to gather. When was the inauguration of the Mishkan? What month?
Nisan.
Good. When was the inauguration of... Nisan. When was the inauguration of the base of Mikdash? What month? Tishrei. Beis HaMikdash is for everyone. It's for the entire world. Tishrei is the month that's for everyone. Nisan is the month for Klal Yisrael. So the inauguration of the Mishkan was specifically in the month of Mishkan. Another difference between Mishkan and Mikdash. Is the Mikdash temporary or permanent? Or was it something temporary or permanent? The Beis HaMikdash. It's permanent. Is the Mishkan something temporary or permanent? The Mishkan is something transportable, something temporary. What's the Sukkah? Is the Sukkah something temporary or permanent? What? Okay, good. Yeah, we passed into the DSRI. The Sukkah is something temporary. The Mishkan, the Sukkah is like the Mishkan. They're both temporary structures. So there's a lot of connections between the Sukkah and the Mishkan, and I'll bring you a much better raya. What's the second, we got two Balei Kriya here, so hopefully. What's the second to last passing Parshas Sav? It talks about the Miluim. Yeah, good. What does it say? Yeshud Shivas Yamim. Good. What holiday do we sit somewhere for 7 days? Exactly. Well, but when do we do that? Sukkos. What does the Torah say for Sukkos? But Sukkos Teshu Shivas Yamim. When it comes to the inauguration of the Mishkan, the Torah says you should sit by the Mishkan for 7 days. When it comes to the Sukkah, the Torah says you should sit in the Sukkah 7 days. And Chazal learned out all sorts of drashas. What?
Yom and Laila?
Yeah, good. Exactly. And the Yishami learns out all sorts of dinim from the yeshiva and the Mishkan to sing in the Sukkah. Why? Because sitting in the Sukkah is like sitting, it's the inauguration of the same way there's an inauguration for the Mishkan, that's what Sukkah is. It's the miluim for a Jew. Right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right after, it's the culmination of everything. It's the culmination of the Gimel Regalim, it's the culmination of Yom Narayim. We need a miluim, we need to restart our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the same way to start off the Mishkan, they had 7 days of preparation, they had 7 days of inauguration. So too when it comes to Sukkot, right, we need to restart our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have 7 days of preparation. We have 7 days of inauguration. That's what Sukkot is. Sukkot is the miluim of a Jew right after the Yom Narayim, right after at the end of the Gimel Regalim. Okay, so far so good? Okay, so let's understand this much. Let's try to bring this point out because I think there's a much deeper point going on here. So if you think about it, right, as we said earlier, right, there's three stages. Right, first you got the potential, like first you got the initial spark, then you have the plan, and then you have the concretization of the plan. Now, what was the initial spark when Hashem took us out of Egypt? What was the purpose of that? What was that meant to be for Kabbalah Satorah? Now, according to the Ramban, how were we supposed to permanently remember Har Sinai? The Mishkan. The Mishkan is supposed to be a permanent remembrance of Har Sinai. So what's Sukkot then? According to everything we said, the Sukkah is the Mishkan. What's Sukkot? It's the concretization of Shavuos. The same way that the Mishkan is supposed to be a permanent remembrance of Har Sinai, Sukkot is the permanent way that we're supposed to take everything from Shavuos and make it permanent. So the significance of Sukkot is that it's the kiyum, or it's taking everything from Shavuos, it's taking Kabbalah Torah and making it the permanent part of our Metzius. And also the Sas Emes explains that the Sukkah is like a chuppah, that the Gimel Regalim are like it's a process of the Jewish marriage. For Pesach Hashem prepared us to get married. What do we say in Shavuos? The Kiddush Tanu, the Mitzvah Secha, that Shavuos Hashem is Mekadosh us, and then Sukkot is the Chuppah. Because what's Sukkot all about? Right, Sukkot, the Gimel Regalim are all about our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so therefore the Sukkah, that's why the Sukkah is the Chuppah. And I'll just add a Ha'ara, just because I think it's very nice Ha'ara. It's related, but it's not super related. What's Sefer Shmos all about? What's the general theme of all Sefer Shmos?
Yeah,
What? Gula, right? Gula, in Maral twins, Gula is our connection towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, let's break up the Parshas and Sefer Shmos. What's Parshas Shmos until Parshas B'Shalach all about? Yitzias Mitzrayim, good. What's that? Pesach. What's Parshas Yisrael Mishpatim all about? Latin Torah, good. What's that? Shavuos. What's the last five Parshas of Sefer Shmos all about?
Mishkan.
What's the Mishkan? Tzokas. Sefer Shmos is the Sefer of Gulas, but the Sefer about our connection between us and Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the entire Sefer as a whole is alluding to the Gimel Magan. It's alluding to the Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Yeah, just our aura, but it's yeah.
So why is Sukkos so far away from Shavuos?
Why, what?
Why is Sukkos so much later than after Shavuos? I mean, we should conquer the Torah once we get it.
Yeah, okay, it's a good question.
No, but this way wouldn't be, this way it's in the month of Tishrei. That's what the Bach says. The Bach says you have to have the sukkahs later, otherwise it's not obvious that you're going out into the sukkah for l'shem mitzvah.
Okay, good.
Good.
But let's understand now the significance. So essentially, what's happening with Sukkot? So Sukkot, there's like a two tracks are now coming to a culmination, because the Bria as a whole, the world as a whole from the Yom and the Rayim is coming to its completion, and Klal Yisrael as our whole are also coming to our completion, because Sukkot is the final of the Gimel Regarim. So let's try to understand the significance of this culmination of the two tracks, the culmination of Klal Yisrael reaching its destiny, and the culmination of the world reaching its destiny. What's that all about? So if we think about it, we have to take a step back. Now, look what the purpose of the world originally was. So the Maharal, the Akedah, a lot of the Sfarim explain that before Adam HaRishon sinned, the purpose of the world was that the world itself would be a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Teva would really be Hashgacha, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be discerned through nature. The nature itself would not be perceived as Teva, be perceived as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, be perceived as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Essentially, Teva itself would be Hashkacha. What happened? Adam Rishon sinned, and then there's a bifurcation that there's Hashkacha, and then there's also Teva. But we couldn't see Hashem's Hashkacha in Teva. Does that make sense? I can explain this again. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. One more time. The original purpose of the world, according to the Akedah and Maharal, is that there wouldn't be such two concepts called Hashkacha and Teva, that they would be essentially one and the same, that Teva would just be perceived as Hashem's Hashkacha. Once Adam HaRishon sinned, Hashem hid himself and created a concept called Teva and a concept called Hashkacha. Now, the world in the future is going to go back to a state where Teva is going to be perceived as Hashkacha. And that's essentially what's happening on Sukkot, in the sense that both Klal Yisrael, which is Adam HaRishon, Chazal teach that Adam HaRishon's Nesham, contained all the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, contained all the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael, and he was living in Gan Eden, where Gan Eden was a reflection of Hashem's Hashkacha. There wasn't any concept called Teva. So on Sukkot, what we're doing is we're going back to that state of Adam HaRishon when Teva recognized Hashem, that's the Dalad Minim, and Adam was fulfilling his purpose in the world. And that's Klal Yisrael. That Sukkot is the final Yantav because Klal Yisrael is fulfilling our purpose in the world, like the same way Adam was supposed to fulfill his purpose in Gan Eden. And Teva itself is nature, right, is just a portrayal, whatever, of Hashem's Hashkacha in the Bria, which is what the state of the world is supposed to be, and what, unfortunately, didn't happen. But on Sukkot, we're alluding back to this stage of the purpose of the Bria. That's why in Sukkot there's so many allusions to what's going to exist lost in Lava, because that's what Sukkot is all about. Sukkot is all about the world reaching its purpose and its destiny. Okay. So let's understand this. Let's just understand a few more points related to this. So let's understand the significance of the fact that the sukkah is very much connected to Hashkacha. So the Maharal explains that each of the Gimel Yamim Tovim correspond to one of our fundamental faiths of Amunah. Pesach is about belief in God. Shavuos is about belief in Torah. And Sukkot is all about belief in Hashkacha. Now, what's the significance of belief in Hashkacha? What's the significance of belief in Hashkacha? Hashkacha is that fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a relationship with us and is watching over us. That's what Sukkos is all about. Sukkos is all about our relationship with Hashem. The Sukkah is all about our relationship with Hashem. That's what Sukkos is all about, to Hashkacha. The Sukkah, Hashem took care of us in the Midbar, and the Sukkos we reflect on the fact that Hashem is, still has an intimate connection, intimate relationship with us. So specifically, that's like the highest of the that's why Sukkos is the culmination of everything, because it's all about the close relationship that we have with Hashem. That's what ultimately the purpose of the world is. So Sukkos, specifically the Yom Tov, which is about Hashkacha, is the last of the Gimel Regalim, because that's the purpose. That's the ultimate purpose of all the Gimel Regalim. And also, Sukkos is called Zman Simchasenu. What's the significance of Zman Simchasenu? What's Simcha all about? So Maharal explains that Simcha can only come when something's in a state of Shlemus, so only when something's in a state of perfection. Well, what's Pshat? So we know, we'll develop this idea. Simcha is about a connection with Hashem. What's the word sad? What's the word in Hebrew for sad? Atzuv. What's atzabayim? What does the word atzabayim mean? Avodah Zarah. Because atzuv and atzabayim, it's the same lashon as atzuv, because it's a richuk from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Avodah Zarah is a richuk from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so for a person it's going to be sad. Simcha, a person's connected to Simcha can only come about when a person is close to Hashem. Because when the Maharal means that a person only in a state of Shlemus can experience Simcha, the point is that Shlemus means perfection. Hashem, the Maharal explains that Hashem is only able to connect himself to other things that are perfect. So only when we're complete can Hashem connect to us, which is what Sukkos is. Sukkos is right after the Yom Narayim, where our sins get removed. So there's no more barrier of our sins. And Sukkos is the finale of the Gimel Regalim. It's the finale. Rav Lopiansky likes to point out that on the Gimel Regalim, we do an Aliyah Lerego in order to be Megala a little bit more Hashem's presence in this world. Sukkos is the last of the revelations of Hashem's Giloy through the Aliyah Lerego. And it's right after the time when we got cleansed of our sins of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. There's no more barriers between us and Hashem. So we're able to have the complete direct chibur between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what causes Sukkos to be Zvan Simchasenu. Because Simcha is all about completion and perfection. And furthermore, a big theme on both Sukkos, both the Yodalmim and the Sukkah, is the theme of Achdus. Right? Achdus, Chazal, the purpose of the Dalmim is that we unite all different types of Jews together, both Jews with Torah mitzvahs, Jews without Torah mitzvahs, etc. That's what the Dalmim. What's the Sukkah all about? The Sukkah, or all Klaisel can sit in one Sukkah. But why is the Sukkah and Dalmim all about Achdus? Because what's Achdus? Achdus is Shlemus, it's perfection. When something's one, everything's united. When everything's united, that's perfect, and only when we're perfect are we able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Sukkos is such a big emphasis on Achdus. Because Achdus is Shlemus, and only when we're Shalom, only when we're perfect, is able to be Simcha. That's why the Simcha of Sukkos comes from the fact that we're all united together in serving Hashem. And therefore Hashem's able to connect us and make it as Zman Simchasenu. So we'll conclude with a few ideas just about the Sukkah. So the Maharal, we'll say over an idea from the Sasanam. So the Sasanam explains that why is it that Sukkos comes right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So the Sasanam explains that Chazal teach that the makom she tzaddikim, the Bali Tshuva, are in a place that even tzaddikim gemurim can't stand. After Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're Bali Tshuva, and therefore we need a place that reflects the fact that we're Bali Tshuva, and therefore we have to go to the Sukkah. Right, Chazal teach, b'makom she tzaddikim gemurim. What's the last one? B'makom she tzaddikim gemurim. Okay, so the Sasanam explains that we need a makom that reflects the fact that we're Bali Tshuva, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the mitzvah of Sukkah. Let's try to understand the words of the Sasanam. The mitzvah of Sukkah reflects the madriga of us as Bali Tshuva. This is a deep point, but I think it's a very, very chashuva point. So the Maharal explains that where's the place for a Bali Tshuva? So the Maharal explains that doing tshuva, when a person does tshuva, he's returning back to his roots, he's returning back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A Baal tshuva has no connection to this world, he belongs in the Olamos HaOyonim, quote unquote. Now, What's the sukkah? What's the sukkah? So Maral explains that the sukkah is a temporary structure because anything temporary is not subject to this world. What the Maral means is that when it comes to the sukkah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly connecting to us. That's not shaykh this world. Things that are permanent part of this world are not ruchnius because this world is a physical world. Anything that's a reflection, anything that's a much deeper reflection, or anything that really is ruchnius a thing, that's only temporary. That's why Matan Torah is like a one. Right? The Har Sinai was only kodesh for like a split for a day or whatever, for a short time period. Right? Because the point being is that anything that's really spiritual can only be in this world on a temporary basis, because this world is not a permanent place of ruchnius. So the sukkah is essentially a place where a person is living in a metzias where he's completely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something that's shaykh to this world. So that's when, right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we're Balei Tshuva, we're not able to exist in something that's part of this world. We need a place that reflects the Maila. We need a place that reflects the level that we're at. The Maral explains that a place, the person, the place of anything reflects the level of the one in it. So, for example, if a person is in the White House, right, that conveys the fact that this is where the president lives and conveys a certain chashivas, etc. The same thing is true in the sukkah. When a Jew's in the sukkah, it conveys a certain chashivas, that person, the direct connection that they have to Hashem, that they're in Hashem's house. They're in the Mishkan. They're in a place that's the direct connection between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So specifically, right after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we're Balei Tshuva, we can't go back to our homes. We need a makom that's able to reflect the high madriga that we're on. So therefore, Hashem gave us the mitzvah of the sukkah. Okay, so I guess to sum everything up, because we discussed a lot of ideas. So essentially, just to put everything together, we discussed that there's two tracks, right? There's the Gimel Regalim track, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Then there's the Yom Narayim track, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Sukkos. Sukkos is the culmination of both tracks. Sukkos, we have two mitzvahs. We have the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. We have the mitzvah of Sukkah. The mitzvah of Dalet Minim is the culmination, well, the Bezos Hashem, the Dal Minim part will expand upon Motzei Shabbos. Dal Minim is the culmination of the Yom Narayim. It's all about Tefillah. It's all about Teva. It's all about nature as its whole, the world as its whole, reaching its perfection. That's where the Dal Minim reflect the entire, we take Dal Minim, it's really reflective of all of nature. And the Sukkah is reflective of our unique relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Sukkos is the Zman Simchaseinu because there's no barriers between us and Hashem. Right? There's no barriers because we got cleansed of our sins from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And there's no barriers in the sense that it's the Shekhinah is able to connect directly to us. And that's why Sukkos is the Yantif, which has so many allusions to Lasi Lava, to what the Metzias is going to be when it comes to Mashiach. Or that's why the only mitzvah that we have that we say Hiratzon afterwards, that like the Beis Hamikdash, the Hiratzon that will eat from the seed of the Levyasan is the Sukkah. At the end of any other mitzvah, we didn't sound like, oh, Hiratzon, like we should have anything to do with Levyasan. Like, why is that all about? Because the Sukkah is hinting, it's alluding to the Mitzvah Lasid Lava. The Sukkah is the only mitzvah which a person, not the only, but the sukkah is one of the only mitzvahs a person fills with his own old body. So old body has to be inside of it. So Lopiansky always likes to point out that the pasuk describes that Lasi Lavo, the entire world is going to be full of the knowledge of Hashem. That's what the sukkah is. The sukkah is a person has to go 100% in. His entire body has to be there because that's reflective of a world that's going to be completely full of the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the significance of the yantif of sukkah. Sukkah is about the deep connection that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And specifically needs to be the culmination of both tracks. Because it's the culmination of what the Bria, the purpose of the Bria as a whole, and it's also the culmination of Klai Yisrael's purpose in this world.